up, cryptids and MILFs? I'm your host, Amanda.
And I'm Ella, and you're entering the sovereign country of Scully Nation, where the flashlights are flickery and the blazers are boxy.
This is an X-Files rewatch podcast, and this is my first time going through the series.
And this is my fourth time.
First and fourth, you know? They both start with F.
Yep. We are amazing. Broadcasting to you from the negative 50 degree weather that many of us are living through.
Basically. Right. Yeah, they're getting like snow in Texas.
Yep.
Which, that sucks, because
they don't have snow plows.
Yeah, how do you deal with that?
You just die.
I mean, I complained about it enough in Minnesota. I guess I don't complain because I like snow.
Yeah.
But it is a pain to drive in, and I'm driving immediately behind giant snow plows.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really imagine what you do without that.
We don't have to worry about snow tonight.
Why's
that? Because we're taking a voyage into the imagination where it's always foggy and autumnal and it's not snowing.
Does it ever snow on the show?
Probably at some point. Okay. I don't remember.
Well, why are you lying to me about the weather in the X-Files?
I don't remember. Nope. I did lie. There is an episode with snow.
Wait, we've literally seen an episode with snow?
Anyway. So tonight, we're talking about season 1, episode 11, Eve.
Eve, you say?
Eve, I say.
Like the French man's name? Eve? Y-V-E-S?
Yes. That's exactly what I meant.
Don't lie to me. It's Eve like Garden of Eden Eve.
Yes.
I was just going to stop at Garden of, and then I remembered that it's not called the Garden of Eve.
No, it's not.
Hey, maybe that's what Adam called it.
He didn't.
You don't know that.
I don't, but I'm pretty sure he did.
Fine. All right, well, let's get into it.
All right.
What's this episode?
So, yeah. So, Eve, I think we're getting into the run of episodes that I actually remember vividly.
Nice.
I feel like there are episodes of The X-Files that I don't really remember. I remember their existence, but I don't really remember anything that happened to them. And then there are other episodes that I remember vividly, and I feel like we're getting into the run of those. It's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, because I feel like there are some good episodes that I don't really remember very well, but...
Like Shadows.
That was not one of them. Sorry, Shadows.
Wow.
Rip to Shadows. Anyway, so this episode of Eve aired on December 10th, 1993. It was written by Kenneth Biller and Chris Brancato.
Those are good names.
Yeah. And directed by Fred Gerber.
I don't like that one. It reminds me of the baby. Although, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Gerber baby.
I think that's why they hired him.
Those were always my least favorite commercials, because it's like every other commercial was for toys or whatever.
And then oh, yeah.
There would just be Gerber baby.
Yeah, you're right.
Life insurance commercials or whatever.
I do remember not liking those.
Like, this is boring.
Yeah.
I'm not buying insurance. No. I'm a child.
I'm 7 years old. I want a Frisbee.
What if kids pester their parents to buy them life insurance like they did to buy them horse figurines? They're like, Mom, it's the checkout and I want life insurance.
The kids in this episode might.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I guess we'll talk about it. They do, yeah, intentionally watch C-SPAN, so. Yeah. Okay.
So this is the first episode of The X-Files written by somebody not on the regular writing staff. So these guys are just like freelance writers. And they were hired because nobody on the regular writing staff had an episode ready.
Oh, okay. So. I thought you were going to say, was willing to write an episode.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so these guys are freelance writers, and I don't think they ever wrote another episode.
Okay.
But Kenneth Biller went on to be the executive producer on Star Trek Voyager, which I haven't seen.
Heard of it.
Is that one of the good ones? I don't know which one that is.
Is that the one with the... What's her name as the captain, Janeway?
I don't know. You're the Star Trek expert.
I haven't seen all of them. I've only seen the original series and Next Gen, so
all right.
I'm actually a fake fan.
Well,
I haven't seen Enterprise or Voyager, or I haven't even watched all of Deep Space Nine, which is bad because it's like that's I think the best one.
You haven't seen the new one either.
I've heard that one's good too.
Fake fan.
I want to watch it. Listen, the problem going back is that it's like The X-Files, because it was TV and, you know, whatever, I don't know, Deep Space Nine in the 90s. So there's like 200 episodes.
Yes.
So it's very difficult to watch all of it.
You'll have to do a Deep Space Nine podcast.
Well, will you join me?
Maybe when we're done with this.
Okay. So in 10 years.
Yes. And then Chris Brancato created Narcos.
I've heard of that.
Which I've heard is good, and I also haven't seen it.
Necesito ver lo para practicar mi español.
It would help.
See.
Probably.
Por supuesto.
And Fred Gerber, this is the only episode of The X-Files he's directed.
Oh.
And that's all I wrote down about him.
Wow.
Because the rest of it wasn't interesting.
And then he founded an insurance company.
And, yeah.
Is that even an insurance company? It might be something else.
I don't know.
I don't know. Something boring.
I don't know.
Anyway.
This episode takes place in Greenwich, Connecticut, and Marin County, California. So, short plot synopsis. When two fathers on opposite sides of the country are inexplicably murdered at exactly the same time in exactly the same way, Mulder and Scully find that their 8-year-old daughters are perfect twins that were created in order to continue the Litchfield Experiment, a eugenics project of the 1950s, which produced clone boys named Adam and girls named, you guessed it, Eve, who have heightened strength and intelligence, but are prone to psychotic behavior.
Hmm. Isn't that just normal kids?
Yeah. Shall we get into the meat?
The crunchy interior?
I hope it's not crunchy. I hope it's juicy and well-cooked.
The blood of the episode?
Yes.
Okay, let's exsanguinate this episode.
Wow.
Yeah? Let's do it. Okay, so we open in, as you mentioned in the synopsis, Greenwich, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very cool vibe. It's
the best vibe.
It's very, you know, the Northeast during fall vibe. So it's foggy. There's rich autumnal colors. There's leaves skittering on, it's not cobblestones, but you know, it could be.
Sure.
It's a sleepy looking neighborhood. A jogging couple sees a little girl standing at the edge of a driveway, clutching like a stuffed bunny and looking kind of freaked out and also definitely not dressed for the weather. So they approach her. They're obviously neighbors too, so they know her.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask her what's going on. And the little girl seems kind of freaked out and says that her dad is in the backyard and he said he wanted some time to himself.
Which is nonsense.
Yeah. And the neighbor, the man neighbor, it says, well, I think his time is up. And then stomps into the backyard to go talk to his neighbor about proper child care. But, oh boy, the papa is sitting on a swing set, and he is super dead.
What?
Credits.
Well, he does have 2 puncture marks on his neck.
Hmm.
Kind of like a vampire.
I was literally going to say
chupacabra.
In exactly the same way. Vampire.
Listen.
Oh, boy.
Listen.
Yes. So I think there's a vampire ghost alien on the loose, probably. Chupacabra.
Yep.
All of the above. And we'll find out after the credits. All right, we're at FBI headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Scully and Mulder are in their office. They're discussing this case. They're like, that's kind of fucked up.
That's an exact quote.
Exactly.
Yep.
It was kind of like how Breaking Bad got 1 F-bomb per season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They got 1.
And they wasted it on this.
Yeah, they wasted it on this.
Okay.
They were freelance writers. Mm-hmm. They weren't thinking.
Oh, sure.
Listen.
They let the freelance writers have the fuck?
Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous?
Wow.
Never.
The injustice.
I know.
Unbelievable.
So Scully is talking about how the man lost like 4 liters of blood.
That's a lot of blood.
Which is not good. You need that. And that did kill him.
I have a question about this. Mm. So he died from blood loss.
Yeah.
So you're meant to think that it's been, like, sucked out or something.
Yeah.
But we find out later that they just drained it, yeah. I guess. So where was all the blood?
Ew. That's a good question.
Unless she drained it into a bag and took it away for some reason.
Yeah, maybe. But that's weird.
It just felt like the method of murder was for a, what's the word? A red herring.
Yeah.
Instead of the way that they would actually probably kill them.
That's true. Although I guess the kids were aware that they wanted a red herring, right?
I suppose. Maybe. Okay, that's true. That's true. They didn't actually say that explicitly, but that makes sense.
But that is a pretty wild red herring. Yeah. I mean, if you, like, just chopped him up, they would also not expect the daughter. So, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they ate it. Maybe they were like, slurp, slurp, let me drink 4 liters of blood.
Maybe.
I'm an 8-year-old.
Okay.
Yum, yum.
Checks out.
No, that's a good point. And, yeah, how would they get rid of it that quickly? Well, never mind. This episode falls apart. Let's just stop. Let's stop recording right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so they got exsanguinated.
Oh, boy.
That's not good.
Nope. And then Mulder brings up the concept of cattle mutilations. I did enjoy, he starts it with by saying, are you at all familiar with the phenomenon of, which I imagine is Scully's favorite conversation starter.
Do you think she just, like, breaks out in hives when she hears those words?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I mean, Mulder would be very interesting to talk to in a bar.
Yeah.
You know?
Or elsewhere.
Or else. I mean, yeah. I would be into it, but I could see where that would get tiresome.
She hears those words and she's like, oh boy, here we go.
He's about to get his slideshow ready.
She gets her flask out and oh boy.
It's time.
Anyway, so he brings up the concept of cattle mutilations, which is another thing I was very obsessed with as a kid. And then mentions that there were also traces of digitalis, which is TV's favorite poison, I've noticed, because it pops up on every show ever made. So the guy was paralyzed while he was being drained, which is why there were no marks of a struggle, I guess. And he posits that it might be aliens.
Makes sense to me.
Makes sense to Mulder. Not to Scully.
Scully does not believe this.
No. And she's right, too.
Yeah, she's right this time.
Because he's wrong.
So, it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
1 for Scully, 0 for Mulder.
Whoop.
Get that chalkboard out. Yeah, and then, you know, Scully's... A line that I liked was... she was asking, like, why would aliens come all the way to Earth just to play doctor? And then Mulder's like, for the same reason we cut up frogs and monkeys. Ominous.
It's a good point.
Probably true in this universe, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe.
Well, I just remember my boy. What was his name?
Max?
Yeah, Max.
Oh my god.
I just remember my boy Max.
Yeah.
So, I'm worried about him.
Well.
Is he getting dissected up there?
Up where?
In the spaceship.
Okay.
In the flying saucer. I saw him get taken.
Okay.
I saw him. Wow. Aliens are real.
All right.
I would increasingly be very annoyed if I was Mulder and I kept seeing these things. And Scully was suspiciously not in the room. It would be very frustrating.
I will say, I think that's a common problem that people have with the first season is, you know, Scully's always getting knocked on the head and misses everything. I will say, eventually, they solve the problem.
Okay, that's good.
They find a way to maintain their, you know, dynamic without Scully missing every single important thing that ever happens.
That's good, because it is kind of annoying.
Yeah. They rectify that later on.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Then she's just like, it was CGI.
Yeah.
It's Photoshop, Mulder.
Pretty much.
Well.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
So now we cut to Fairfield County Social Services back in Greenwich.
The hostel.
They call it a hostel, which seems like a weird... I mean, maybe they use that phraseology. Maybe. I don't know.
I just can't hear the word hostel without thinking of hostel.
Yeah. Oh, I see. The movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just...
You don't?
My time abroad, staying in hostels in Scotland is what I think about.
Okay.
Youth hostels, as we called them.
It's just an evil-sounding word. And you're not impressing me.
I guess it kind of sounds like hostile.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I haven't watched those movies because I have taste, so.
Well, even if you haven't watched it.
That's fair enough.
Okay. It just sounds evil.
It does sound evil. So. Well, and that's accurate for this.
That's true.
So we see the little girl. Mm-hmm. She's still clutching her little doll.
Yes. Looking all freaked out. I have a question for you, because mm-hmm. you hadn't seen this episode before. Did you get creepy vibes from her before you knew she was evil?
Not explicitly.
Okay.
I think I usually get creepy vibes from all kids, so I try to,
that was the thing.
So I try to, actively assume that they're not creepy, mm-hmm. even if I'm getting creepy vibes, because okay. I'm assuming that they're not supposed to have creepy vibes.
Sure.
So I doubt myself.
But in this case, you would have been right.
I would have been right. Mm. Yeah, I don't think I was expecting it for a while.
Okay.
If I'm being honest.
All right.
I probably should have been.
I mean, you should have been guessing it because I was, elbowing you in the ribs and going,
See those kids? Suspicious.
I mean, come on.
Kids pretty sus.
That's what I said.
I know.
And you still didn't guess.
What are you talking about? Why are you saying this to me? Sus? What, is this newfangled slang? I'm an old man.
You've played Among Us.
It's true, but I'm bad at it.
Yeah.
And I don't like killing people.
You're delicate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these kids aren't.
No, these kids would beat me.
Yes.
In Among Us and in life.
Yep.
So a worker at the hostel. That does sound weird to say. But
yeah.
Worker at the social services hostel where this kid is being held in, before she goes to foster care because her dad got exsanguinated. Shows Mulder and Scully into the room.
The nautical-themed room.
The door to Tina's, the kid's name is Tina. Her room at this hostel has a door that just has a big circular porthole window in it, which is very strange.
Yes.
But, whatever. I guess it's so they can, creep on her?
I guess. Or more likely, that was the only building they could find to shoot in.
That also feels right. So Mulder and Scully go in, and they talk to this little girl, mm-hmm. to get her story.
Poor, poor, innocent little Tina.
This victim, I would mm-hmm. say. They're like, has your dad ever gotten into a fight with anyone that you know mm-hmm. about? Have there been strangers at your house? Not to spoil it, but maybe they should be asking what her alibi is. You know what I'm saying?
Probably. She doesn't have one.
Nope.
Standing in the driveway, cold, with my stuffed rabbit. Likely story.
Whatever.
Get out of here.
That wouldn't work if I used that excuse.
Mm-mm-mm.
Why does it work for her?
Because she's 8.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense. Okay, now that you say it, I see the problem.
Yeah.
I like Mulder's attempt at, breaking the ice. He's just like, that's a nice bunny. Did your dad get murdered in front of everyone? I was like, come on, you gotta ask, does the bunny have a name?
Yeah.
You gotta ask a question.
Yeah. I mean, this whole episode is their trial run at being parents together, and I would say it was unsuccessful, so they're gonna have to try a little harder.
I would say
in the future.
I'm sure it'll come up as we discuss the episode, but I don't think either of these people should be parents. And we can talk about that in my predictions later.
Sure. But she does mention, so Mulder is kind of asking her some fairly leading questions because he's already made up his mind. He knows it's aliens. And so she tells him, I saw some red lightning and the men from the clouds were after my dad. I don't think so. I did find it funny that the kid just clocked Mulder immediately and knew, yep, this guy's going to believe if I tell him about aliens. He has that aura about him.
Listen.
So,
he does. Knew. He's got that vibe.
Yeah.
I can get it. Yeah, so she is, I guess we are just spoiling the episode. I mean, the kids are evil. So, yeah.
She's, what?
Oh, sorry. The kid did it.
Oh, my God.
So she is just leading Mulder on with her superhuman psychology and awareness that he's spooky.
Dang.
Yeah, so I think at one point the kid says exsanguinate, and that's a plot point, is that she knows that word. But as we discussed, mm-hmm. we probably knew that word when we were kids, too.
Because we were weird kids.
Yeah, and it was, in the same vein as defenestrate.
Yeah.
It's just, a weird word that you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I believe that that's strange. But.
But.
Whatever.
The evidence is adding up.
Mm-hmm. Creepy kids. So now we go to the Reardon crime scene,
mm-hmm.
which is the name of the family in California, where the dad was also exsanguinated.
In exactly the same way.
The house even looks very similar. They've got a swing set in the backyard. Mm-hmm. What the heck? Nature versus nurture, you know? All these questions are getting raised.
Absolutely.
If they didn't have a swing set, would they have murdered their dads?
That's a good question.
No way to know.
We'll think about it.
I had a swing set when I was a kid, and I didn't murder my dad, though.
So. I did, too.
Yeah.
So.
So, probably a nature thing in this case.
Probably.
But yeah, so Mulder and Scully, they just, like, toodle on over to California real quick.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I guess that's what planes do.
Yeah.
So.
And cuts in film.
Yeah, editing, I've heard, is a thing.
Yeah.
So, they're in California. They are... Wait.
They just don't do anything.
Yeah, it's just
they basically just investigate and they realize that the house looks exactly the same. He died in the exact same way and he died at exactly the same time.
Yeah. That's the problem. Okay. And then we're cutting back to the hostel back in Connecticut.
Back to Tina.
Oof. There's a lightning storm, which made me miss lightning storms.
Yeah.
Gotta love them.
Rain. Very spooky.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's set in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in bed. She looks all freaked out. Someone is creeping into the room. Tina tries to, like, block the door with a chair and escape through the window, but she's not able to open it.
Nope.
And then she gets grabbed. And
yoink!
She gets yoinked right out of there and kidnapped.
Yep.
And that's not good.
No.
And now this hostel's going to have a terrible Yelp review because one of the kids got snatched.
Ugh.
Never a good sign.
Mm-mm.
Back in California.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Now Mulder and Scully... Oh, I'm sorry.
Got so mad about this.
Mulder and Scully are questioning the other girl, is what I wrote down. But there's definitely a transition before we get to that.
They're going to just interview the California family.
Okay.
And they're not really expecting another kid. But they knock on the door, and the door opens, and it's Tina. She's right in front of them.
But she's in Connecticut right now, and she just got snatched.
Yeah. But then they find out, not Tina. This kid's name is Cindy Reardon. What the heck is going on?
That doesn't make any sense, though, because she looks just like Tina.
Oh, boy.
Which I could tell.
Sure.
So, commercial break. Mm-hmm. Drama. Gotta miss commercial breaks for the drama they provided.
Yeah. Mm. Definitely.
Those act breaks. But we, you know, come back to the house, and Mulder and Scully are inside waiting for the mom to make them coffee or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy, the other little girl, is watching cartoons on the TV, and then she switches it to C-SPAN.
So that's how you know she's evil.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be evil to watch C-SPAN.
True.
Come on.
Very true.
I've watched C-SPAN before.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm informed about politics.
I haven't watched C-SPAN. Well, I mean, I've probably seen it, but I've never put it on purpose.
Well, which one of us is evil then?
I guess it's you.
I guess it's me. There's like three channels of it, too, so you can flip between C-SPANs.
I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're missing out.
Okay.
Missing out. So they start asking questions of the mom that are kind of like, was your daughter adopted by any chance?
Very suspicious leading questions.
It's like, you know, she thinks that they're there to talk about her husband's murder, and they're like, so your daughter's weird, right? And then she just, like, you know, very defensively is like, I gave birth to Cindy. Which is, I mean,
yeah,
I guess it would be very strange if FBI agents came mm-hmm. to your house and started implying that it wasn't your kid. But yeah, so the mom seems kind of weirded out by their questions, and then they reveal that she and her husband did have trouble conceiving, and they went to a fertility clinic.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's a little suspicious.
Dun, dun, dun. Sounds like a lead to me.
Mm-hmm. I'll say.
She also mentions that to prove that she did give birth to Cindy, that she can show them videos of her birth, which is really gross.
It's horrifying.
I know that probably some people have that, but why?
I know they
do. Why would you want to look at that?
I can't. Yeah, I mean, I'm not the person to ask because I don't want kids at all.
Yeah.
But I can't. I can't even conceive of why. I can't even conceive of why, even if you wanted kids, you would want a video of you giving birth.
No thanks.
It's horrifying.
No thank you. I watched a video of birth in high school health class. That was enough for me. I'm like, okay.
That's why you don't want kids anymore. So, the Boo crew get into their car and they start to drive off, but Mulder kind of like pulls over a little bit away from the house and he's like, well, these two cases are, you know, identical so far, suspiciously identical, and we've just gotten word that Tina was kidnapped in the middle of the night.
Yep.
So maybe we should keep a little eye on Cindy to make sure she doesn't also get kidnapped, which is a good call.
Makes sense.
So Mulder gets out and he's like, I'm gonna watch the house. And then Scully goes to the fertility clinic.
Yes. So she goes to the clinic, the Luther Stapes Clinic in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Beautiful. And she's talking to a doctor who is, for some reason, explaining what in vitro fertilization is to Scully. Another doctor, but whatever.
He's a man.
It's for, well, there's that. Also, I guess it's for the benefit of the audience.
Yeah.
Who might not know.
Just not as much of a thing, probably, back then. Was it new?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about the history of this.
I have no idea. I would imagine people must... That must have been a thing back then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Anyway, so he's mansplaining IVF to her, and then they go into the room, and they're talking, and somehow it comes about, Scully sort of bullies him into showing, and not really bullies, but she gets access to the records of the family, and then notices that the doctor in charge of their, whatever you want to call it, their pregnancy, their,
whatever. Healthcare.
Whatever. Their whole deal was called Dr. Sally Kendrick.
And evil name.
A very evil name. She was involved in both of the two families' pregnancies.
That's weird.
Sure is. And apparently, she was nothing but a problem.
That is what we have learned.
According to the doctor, who has a great mustache, by the way.
Yes. He just has, it's like a straight white line. It's somehow so straight.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah.
So he shows Scully a cool VHS tape from Sally Kendrick. It's like a promotional video type of thing. And she was involved in, or it turns out that she was involved in like tampering with the eggs before implanting them into the women. And she was very interested in eugenics and she was just brilliant, but a little evil.
Yeah, it's not good.
A little evil.
This is, okay, I'm going to just say it, and I know this is going to be controversial.
Okay, wait.
So everyone
I think ready. I know what you're going to say, and I'm just, I'm preparing myself. Okay.
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 You know, everybody sit down at home.
I'm sitting down at home.
If you're driving, I would pull over right now.
Okay.
I think eugenics is bad. I don't think it's good. Whoa. And I think it's rooted in a profoundly racist history.
Correct.
So that's just my two cents. Anyway, let's go on.
Whoa.
I just want to go out on a limb.
Okay.
And just say that.
So. Controversial.
I guess.
Well, I guess. Okay.
Unfortunately.
I guess.
Not among normal humans.
Yeah.
But.
Gross.
Ugh. Anyway.
Anyway. So, she's pretty evil, but brilliant. So, this doctor, whose name I didn't write down, Dr. Mustache.
Dr. Mustache.
He fired her, and he also requested an investigation by the U.S. Health Department, but his request for an investigation was denied.
That's weird.
Almost like, maybe they already knew about the work that Sally Kendrick was doing, and they approved. Moved of it.
There would never be eugenics in the U.S. of A.
Think this or the rest of this episode is going to prove you wrong.
It's true. This is a documentary.
It is.
It is. Yeah. Obviously, there was a profound history of eugenics in the U.S. Anyway.
Yes.
wasn't there also that creepy guy, like, recently that they caught who, like worked at a fertility clinic and used his own sperm for like hundreds of women without their consent.
I don't.
So there's like a bunch of like half siblings out there whose dad is an evil criminal.
Gross.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
I think that happened. That I'll double check before it's included in the episode, but
yikes.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yikes.
Gotta vet these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they seem psychotic, don't hire them. Well, that's, I don't know, psychotic is a loaded word, but I don't know.
Egotistical.
Yeah. If they're very egotistical, don't hire them.
Yes. And she also, so after all of this investigation and everything, or lack of investigation, she disappeared, never to be heard from again, until this very night.
Oh, in this year, 1993, on a dark and stormy night, we saw her in Connecticut. Green Witch, Connecticut.
Yep. You got it.
That's still whenever I have to spell it, Connecticut. I still say it in my head.
Same.
So.
We all do.
That's where I'm at.
Sorry, Connecticut.
It's like when you have to spell the banana. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Yeah.
Anyway. Gwen Stefani. Okay. So we go to the hotel.
There's kind of a cool shot from to the hotel.
Okay.
It's like on her video, and then it's Scully in the clinic looking at the video, and then it pans or zooms back from the video, and they're in the hotel.
Yeah.
Or motel.
Yeah, there were some cool shots in this. I feel like I am sad that the director apparently only did this episode.
Thanks, Fred Gerber.
You know?
We miss you.
Pour one out. You did a good job, I think. So Mulder and Scully are watching the same video in their motel room, which is kind of fun, because it's like, yeah, do they have VHS players in hotel rooms like that?
I feel like they probably did.
I guess. Did people bring their own VHS when they were traveling?
I feel like there was probably a brief period of time where people did.
Probably. Okay.
So, we used to have, like, a tiny little TV with a built-in VCR that we would bring on road trips.
That's fun.
So, probably.
Okay, that's fun. All right. Fair enough. And Mulder has his little glasses on. That's not important, but I just wanted to mention that. It is one of my bullet points. And Scully then gets, like, a call on the motel phone. And
who's it from?
It's just, like, a couple clicks, and then it hangs up, so it must be an incorrect number.
Oh, or that's mysterious.
Incorrect number. That's not how you say that.
Wrong number.
It's the incorrect number. So that's weird, but whatever. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then Mulder immediately kicks her out of the room after that. And she's like, do you have a girl coming over tonight? And I just like, what's a girl?
What's a girl?
Is that a reference to something?
No.
I assumed that it was.
I don't think so.
The way he said it sounded like it was like a reference, but
I just assume that's a real question.
Okay.
And he doesn't know what a girl is.
What is a girl?
What's a girl?
Are you with us?
Huh? Is that why I'm in love with you?
Oh my God.
No.
But anyway, he does have a date, but it is not with a girl.
No.
And that's okay, you know?
It's with an old man.
It's with an old man. And sometimes you're dating a girl, and sometimes you're dating an old man.
Sure.
And in this case, he's dating an old man, and it's Deep Throat.
Okay.
So he meets Deep Throat by the pier, I guess.
Yeah, the pier.
I don't know. It's just a cool shot.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just gotta meet by the pier.
Mm-hmm.
That does seem like something Deep Throat would do.
Just
dramatically choosing a place.
My question is, how did Mulder know where to meet him? Because they're not, like, in D.C. I imagine, like, when they meet in D.C., they, like, have their meeting spots or whatever, but...
Yeah.
They're, like, in California now.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're just so close at this point that
sure.
they can just, like, you know, finish each other's sentences.
I guess.
I don't know how he knows where to meet Deep Throat. Maybe he just, because he did seem like he was just kind of like wandering around and then Deep Throat jumped out at him.
Yeah.
Maybe he just has standing orders to go walk by a body of water
and maybe.
Deep Throat will find him.
Actually, that's probably true because Deep Throat knew where Mulder was because he called him.
Yeah.
So Mulder probably just walked around until he found him, I guess.
The love of his life found him. Well, the second love of his life.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Could Deep Throat... Mulder and Scully be a throuple. Discuss.
No.
Why not?
No comment.
Does Deep Throat try to kill her at some point or something?
I can't say.
Oh, boy.
But the answer is no.
Okay. Well, that's disappointing, but...
You'll understand.
Okay. We'll have to bring this back for our reunion tour when we make fun of all the dumb things I said.
Of course.
Okay, so, yeah, so Mulder and Deep Throat meet by the pier, and Deep Throat is just like, oh, I did write Deep Throat as Mulder's secret friend with a smiley face. That's one of my bullet points.
That's cute.
And Deep Throat tells Mulder about the Litchfield experiments, which we heard about in the when we said the synopsis at the beginning of our episode. But, yeah, it's like a eugenics experiment in Litchfield.
They didn't say.
Somewhere.
Just said Litchfield.
In Litchfield. I wanted to say Massachusetts really badly, but I don't know why. In Litchfield. And
there's a Litchfield, Minnesota.
Oh, my God. Are they here? Wait, I guess I knew that. So the Litchfield experiments, these eugenics experiments that were super, super, duper, duper, extra califragilistic secret.
Yes.
And anyone involved would absolutely deny knowledge of anything.
Except for Deep Throat.
Except for Deep Throat, who tells Mulder, which is a little suspicious. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm not sure why Mulder trusts him.
Mulder's a trusting guy.
He really is.
He trusts everyone. He says he doesn't, but...
He, like, reminds himself not to trust people a lot. To be fair, I also trusted Deep Throat, so I am also the fool. He just has nice suits.
You can't be drawn in by nice suits.
I mean, lots of people with nice suits are evil. In fact, probably most people with nice suits are evil, so I don't know why I felt
that. Maybe not most, but probably many.
I don't know. There's a correlation between being able to afford a nice suit and being evil.
Okay.
But I'll grant you, not everyone.
All right. Remains to be seen.
I'm just saying, you know, you see Mulder, and he's got a big old baggy ugly suit. And then you see Deep Throat. Tailored, dressed for the nines. Which one seems more evil?
Deep Throat. Not that he's evil. We don't know.
So Deep Throat just gives him all this info about the Litchfield experiments.
And basically they cloned a group of girls and a group of boys and raised them on a compound. And the boys were named Adam and the girls were named Eve.
It's, you know, like Captain America. Is what I said.
Just like Captain America?
Just like Captain America. They were, I think Deep Throat says that it was because they received intelligence that the Russians were doing a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. Whatever. I feel like the U.S. has been doing eugenics for a long time, so.
Probably.
I don't know if I buy that we can blame a eugenics war. If the Russians were doing it, it's probably because they heard the U.S. was doing it.
It's a chicken and egg situation.
Which came first? Anyway, so that's that's interesting that Deep Throat has just shown up
out of nowhere
just to share some information about this weird eugenics experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that could mean.
I don't know.
Oh, well, just food for thought. And then we see, I've just started writing them in my notes as Skulder, so I probably, just because it's shorter, so I probably will accidentally say Skulder at some point.
I usually write Boo Crew.
I wrote Boo Crew a couple times, and then I also wrote Skulder a couple times.
Okay.
So I was kind of swapping between the two.
Fair enough.
So the Boo Crew are now, it's, you know, the next day or whatever, and they're driving to the Whiting Institute for the Criminally Insane.
Mm-hmm. Dramatic name.
Very dramatic name. And it's just like, yeah, it's kind of like the cut happens where they still have Deep Throat voiceover explaining stuff while we see the Boo Crew going to this place.
Kind of fun.
Like, there's a lot of Deep Throat voiceover in episodes.
That's true, yeah. Second episode.
Yeah. But they're going to see someone called Eve Six.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
But before.
Yeah.
And also, it's probably been done a lot of times.
Yeah, but it's in the same vein.
Yeah. You know, you got your named children with evil experiments happening to them.
Yep.
Or named, numbered.
Sure. I knew what you meant.
Thank you.
So it's a very extremely evil looking prison. Creepy doors, screaming people, narrow staircases, wrought iron bars everywhere. So they get let in, they get panic buttons.
I just wrote, what would Foucault say? In my notes.
What would Foucault say? We'll never know.
We'll never know. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
So they get panic buttons and then they get led to Eve Six's cell. And it's very dark inside. And the guard hands them flashlights and tells them that Eve screams if the lights are turned on. So they have to use these special little flashlights, which, you know, helps with the atmosphere.
It's true.
Makes it a little spookier.
And to be fair, I also scream if people turn the overhead light on. Anyway, so yeah, so they go into her cell. There's this woman who is, like, locked up in a corner with, like, you know, ankle cuffs and handcuffs, which seems excessive and inhumane.
Oh, it's a straitjacket.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A little inhumane, but whatever. That's fine. We can
talk
about
a reason for it.
Prison abolition later.
Well, that too.
but this is a little surprise plot point that, again, it was a good thing I was watching with you. She looks like Dr. Kendrick.
I pointed it out to you.
Which I appreciated.
Same woman.
I would not have known. So it looks like the woman who got fired for doing eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so we learned that she did, this woman.
Yes.
Did chomp a guard's eyeball.
Yes.
Which would suck, I guess.
Yeah. Admittedly. I wouldn't like to get my eyeball chomped on.
I mean, you know, to each their own.
Sure.
I think I will always be haunted by the scene in Black Leopard, Red Wolf, the book where he gets his, eyeball sucked out. Good book.
Gross.
Gross scene.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, so that's why she's all tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's got, like, an IQ of, I think, over 260 or something. Which is just, like,
something
meaningless
wild.
Nonsense. But she's so super smart.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts just kind of, like, telling them about, yeah. You know, like, the other Eves that, I think all the ones who are numbered below her have died, right? And the only ones
because she says they're prone to suicide.
Yeah. So she's Eve 6, and then Eve 7 and Eve 8 are both still around.
Mm-hmm. But they've escaped.
Mm-hmm. That's
they're
not good.
Out in the world. So, yep. She's also very twitchy mm-hmm. and weird, mm-hmm. and she does have yellow teeth, mm-hmm. which I assume is because she's chewing so much of that scenery. I assume.
No other it's bad for your teeth.
Yeah.
Dentists will always mm-hmm. tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it, but. So.
It's true. It's very dramatic. And they're still testing her for the Litchfield experiment, mm-hmm. which, you know, doesn't exist officially. Interesting.
Hmm.
Sounds like it's still going on.
Sure does.
Yeah. So, I mean, she just, like, talks about whatever. They have 56 chromosomes. They have heightened strength, intelligence, and psychosis. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. They're superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Super soldiers who are super psychotic, etc. Yeah.
I kind of liked that line where she was talking about how they have heightened strength, heightened intelligence, and then Mulder says, heightened psychosis.
Yeah.
Just kind of as a jab, and she says, save the best for last.
Yeah.
It was just a good line.
It was. That's good.
Good delivery.
Yeah, and then she directs their attention to a family photograph that she has on her wall, which mm-hmm. is just like a, I don't know, well, I guess it would be 9 kids who all look identical, right?
9?
It looked like more. 8. 8, sorry. Just 8. Because 6, 7, 8. Yeah, just 8, sorry.
Yeah.
It looked like a lot of kids to me. I got overwhelmed looking at the picture.
I mean, I guess it could theoretically be more, but...
No, I think you're right. Okay. It's just 8. And they all look identical, which is kind of... I feel like it was funny that they, like... This is, like, a super secret experiment.
Mm-hmm.
But they do let Mulder and Scully just go in and talk to her, and they just let her keep a picture of...
Well, Deep Throat got them in.
Oh, specifically.
They would not have had...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said that. They would not have had access,
okay.
But Deep Throat specifically called and got them access.
What's he up to?
He just wants to help. He's just helping Mulder out by giving him top secret information.
I just feel like I can't trust him anymore. You know, he really, like, betrayed my trust.
Wow.
And it's really hurtful.
He's just being a helpful guy for no other reason than to be helpful.
It's fine.
Because he loves hanging out with Mulder.
Well, who doesn't?
That's fair.
Who doesn't?
That's fair.
Yeah. So, anyway, it sounds like Sally Kendrick, the doctor, was kind of continuing this Litchfield experiment mm-hmm. in her work as a fertility doctor and was basically cloning herself.
Yes.
And doing experiments on the evil little children yep. that were born.
And you didn't mention the picture of all the kids looks just like the girls.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, it's like the Eves' children looked just like Tina and Cindy.
Yep.
Our little creepy kids.
Clones.
Clones all the way down.
All the way down, boys.
Oofta. So now we go back to Cindy's house.
Mm-hmm.
She's praying. Her mom's putting her to bed. They're going through their, you know, nighttime the kid rituals.
I would also kill my parents if I had to wear those pajamas.
They were Listen, cute.
They were not. They were deeply ugly. The whole room was deeply ugly.
Listen, she has bad taste.
No offense.
I mean, I'll have thoughts about her mom later. Okay, we can sure. delve into
yeah.
at the end of the episode. So yeah, so, you know, Cindy's put to bed and the Boo crew is outside, still kind of keeping an eye out, assuming that she's going to be kidnapped, just like, Tina was. And I think now they're assuming that she's being kidnapped by one of the Eve clones.
Yep.
Probably the doctor one. And so they're watching. Scully has little tiny, like, opera glass kind of
cute.
Binoculars that she's creeping in the window at. Cindy does just, like, stare at them from the window, which is really creepy.
Was she looking at... I thought she was just looking out the window.
Oh, maybe she was just looking out the window. I thought they thought she was just looking out the window, but she was looking at them.
Oh.
But I don't know.
Could be. I don't know.
Anyway, so then they see, like, a bright flash of light, and they see Cindy basically getting kidnapped in front of them. Which Uh-oh. Would be very upsetting, if they weren't an evil child. So,
sure.
anyway, so, you know, like, the Boo crew rushes into action, Mulder takes the back, he goes to the backyard to, head off the kidnapper, and Scully goes upstairs, guns blazing, they're gonna stop this.
Yeah, she actually comes in shooting all, she actually uses up all her bullets.
She might have solved this case early on if she had done that, saved some lives. She doesn't. Anyway, so she gets, like, attacked. She gets knocked mm-hmm. out by someone. And then we see Mulder in the backyard, and someone crashes through the, like, plate glass sliding door. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh boy.
Oh boy.
oh boy, oh boy, not again. Mulder points his gun at them. They turn around, and, hoo boy, it looks like Dr. Kendrick herself holding a child.
Oh boy.
That's not good. And, even worse, she's got a gun of her own. And she's not afraid to use it.
She doesn't use it, actually.
Well, she's not afraid to threaten to use
okay,
it.
Okay, okay.
She's not too afraid to threaten to use the gun that she's holding.
Okay.
So Mulder puts his gun down to avoid bloodshed.
Sure, fair
and
enough.
And then Dr. Kendrick takes Cindy and gets in a car and drives away.
And Mulder runs after her in a very silly
jog,
way.
Jog, jog, jog. He does try to jog to catch up to a car, which he cannot do mm-hmm. because it's a car.
Yeah.
Guess he should work out more.
I mean, we have seen him work out.
That's true.
So.
Well.
He does.
Not enough. If you can't run as fast as a car, you're not working out hard enough.
Is that true? Okay.
Science.
All right. So, yeah. So, Eve/ Sally Kendrick. Do we know whether she is Eve 7 or Eve 8?
I think we do know, but I don't remember.
Okay. I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eve/Sally Kendrick takes Cindy to a motel and brings her in. And there's a weirdo raking the yard and not minding his own business,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I guess he did uncover a child kidnapping, which is a good thing. But he didn't know that. He's just being a creep.
He's just hoeing and staring.
I'm so sick of these people hoeing and staring all over the place.
Good lord.
Disgusting. Anyway, so Eve takes Cindy in. I guess I should call her Sally. Sally Kendrick takes Cindy in and introduces her to Tina. And they lock eyes and do not seem surprised to meet each other.
No.
At all.
Which is strange. Do you think they would be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like it'd be upsetting to realize that you had a twin, a clone.
You'd think so.
Tisn't a surprise at all.
Mm-mm.
So we're back at the Reardon house. You know, it's abuzz with the policia, you know, running through the place, looking for clues. Investigating, etc., etc.
Yeah.
They found the car that was driven off at the airport, so they're like, oh, you know, she probably took this kid on a flight. Scully's giving them all the, like, you know, like, oh, check the airport, but also, like, you know, wait to see if she took another flight.
And blah, she's blah, saying blah, blah. It like this.
Yeah, she's competent.
Sure.
She's giving directions.
She's bossing people around.
She's investigating. She's dare I say it, girl boss.
I wish you didn't, but you did.
But then Mulder gets a call from the man who was hoeing and staring. Well, not directly from him. That would be pretty crazy. If the hotel manager was just like, I gotta call Mulder. Although, actually, if there would be any connection directly between a hotel manager and an FBI agent, it would be Mulder.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Mulder gets the intelligence that this hotel manager saw some suspicious activity of a child fitting the description in a hotel room nearby. The reason that the manager, like, actually was paying attention and kind of, like, noticed something was off was that the kid said, like, some weird shit to him. I mean, I didn't write it all down. Something about the chemicals that he should be using in the pool, and they used, like, the full name for the chemicals and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, precocious.
Yes.
Which is why he remembered it. So, you know, it's, I guess they should probably go to that motel.
Probably.
And so the camera crew gets there first, and so we see what's going on in the motel before the boo crew gets there. Sally, the doctor, the adult, is, like, eating fast food with the kids and just kind of explaining the experiments.
Actually, this isn't Sally.
Oh.
This isn't Sally.
Shoot, you're right. This is the other one.
Because this one dies.
Yeah.
So this is not Sally Kendrick. This is the other Eve.
Shoot, you're right. Damn it.
So this is... Let's call her Eve 7.
Let's call her Eve 7. Okay, yeah. You're right. Sorry.
Because Sally Kendrick is... Yeah.
We gotta edit all this.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Eve 7. The adult clone. But, you know, there's too many clones.
Sure. Too many clones.
Again, you know, not to belabor the point, but this is what it feels like to be me.
Sure.
Everyone looks the same, and I don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. So Eve 7 is eating fast food with the kids and explaining stuff to them.
And she's super well adjusted, just like the Eve 6 that we saw. Mm-hmm. She's super chill, super normal.
She's more chill.
She's pretty weird.
I mean, she starts, like, freaking out when she's being poisoned.
Even before that. I mean, she's a little, you can tell that she's, like, 2 seconds away from just freaking out.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair.
Which is fair. I mean, we all are.
Yeah.
But
she's not hiding it very well.
No.
Sometimes you gotta hide how chill you are.
Yeah.
Like, I'm chill, man.
Sure. I don't believe you.
I'm relaxed.
You're not.
I'm very cold.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's a type of chill.
Fair enough.
And yeah, you know, she's saying that she's, like, disappointed by Tina and Cindy because in other experiments that were run with these, like, clones or whatever, they didn't start demonstrating homicidal tendencies until they were 20. And, oh boy, these kids are already doing it. They're
precocious.
They are precocious. Uh-huh. But she's disappointed for some reason in her kids because they murdered 2 men.
Whatever.
Whatever. It's not a big deal. And Tina and Cindy seem, like, have a psychic link between each other. So that's how they knew that the other existed. They knew how to do the murder the same way at the same time, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
So just, they're evil little kids, you know. And then, I don't know. The Eve 7 is just, like, trying to convince them that they're human. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, you can't be murdering people. You're like, you are a people.
Sure. And those little kids are very evil, and they're basically saying, well, we weren't born, we were created. And Eve 7 says, you can't give in to genetic destiny. You can be normal. Just like me. Look how well adjusted I am. I'm living in a motel and kidnapping kids. You can be just like me.
The dream. That just sounds like what Mulder and Scully do later in the episode.
Yeah. But unfortunately, she starts freaking out even more than normal. She starts shaking the table, falling on the ground, and turns out she's been poisoned with Digitalis.
Uh-oh. Just like the papas.
Just like the papas. So they say something like, we're your mistakes.
Yeah. You made us. We're your mistake.
Yep.
And then Eve tries to stab them to, like, put an end to these evil children, but they're one step ahead of her.
Yep.
Always. So the, like, the cops, the authorities arrive at the scene, and they hear a kerfuffle and a scuffle happening inside that a room.
Uh-huh.
And so they run, hurry in, check it out. Oh boy, dead body on the floor.
Oh boy.
Looks like an Eve. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Windows are broken.
Yep.
And they turn around, see two little girls cowering in the corner, saying that someone came in and poisoned, and I guess stabbed this woman and tried to poison them too, but they just pretended to drink it. So that's how they were able to save themselves. And they're scared. They don't know what's happening. And then when they're asked what the perpetrator looked like, they point to the corpse on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just blaming the other Eve.
Eve 8. Yep.
Right.
So that's too bad. So the Boo crew get to take the girls and try out on a trial basis being parents on a road trip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they take the girls. I don't know where they're taking them. Maybe back to...
I think to see doctors. Is what okay. They
yeah. So they're in the car driving, and I have... Or I guess first the girls kind of look at each other in an evil way and say, we have to go to the bathroom.
Sorry, an Eve?
In an Eve.
Evil?
Way.
Eve?
Evil Ill? Way. Yep.
Okay, cool.
And say, oh, we have to go to the bathroom. So Mulder's like, oh, gosh, I gotta pull over now.
Whatever. I'm gonna get a coffee.
Yep. Speaking of that, I have a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
Crucial.
Okay.
Where would we put Mulder and Scully on the McDonald's triangle?
Perhaps we should explain. So there's a triangle, an internet meme, a joke on the internet, if you will. That
it's as scientific as the Myers-Briggs personality test.
I mean, it's probably more scientific that everyone is put into one of 3 points or somewhere on the spectrum between 3 points on a triangle. I believe the top one is McDonald's.
I don't remember.
Well, whatever. So one of them is the person who's very excited about the concept of pulling over and getting McDonald's.
Yes. With the kids.
With the kids. The other one is we have food at home.
We have food at home.
And then the third and final point on the triangle is pulls into the drive-thru, orders a black coffee. And then drives away.
Yes.
John Mulaney style. John Mulaney's dad style.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Mulder's McDonald's, and Scully's We Have Food at Home. Right?
Yeah.
That's easy.
Feels right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Wait, what are you?
What am I?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a pulls in and gets a black coffee.
Yeah. Feels right.
What are you?
McDonald's.
Yeah.
It did to be responsible. Mm-hmm. I do understand that I have food at home.
Sure.
But my natural inclination.
But sometimes you just want to get McDonald's.
My visceral joy is McDonald's.
Or sometimes you just want to order a black coffee and be mean to kids.
The kid, ironically, the kids in this episode are the ones who would be black coffee.
That's true.
So, there you go.
Oh, no.
I got so upset.
It's all falling apart.
Knocking everything over. So, yes. So, that's the Myers-Briggs. The coffee Briggs.
Yes.
So they pull over into a truck stop. They pull over into a drug stop. I guess kind of. They pull over into a truck stop.
A really cool truck stop.
Oh my god.
I wanted to be there.
I know that it's just because we're, you know, a year deep into quarantine, et cetera, but I would kill a man.
Yeah.
To go to this truck stop.
Yes.
Get a slice of pie.
Ugh.
Just hang out.
Yes.
Just listen to bad country.
Mm-hmm.
Good lord.
Sit at the counter, listen to truckers complain about things.
Talk to Flo, the waitress.
I'd love to talk to Flo.
No. So anyway, so they order three...
Four, sorry.
Yep, that'd be pretty good. They order four pops, just to, like, you know, what you know how you do when you go in to just use the bathroom and you're like, okay, I have to technically buy something just to be nice. And I think Scully wanted caffeine anyway. So they order four pops and then, you know, go to the bathroom. And then one of the kids sneaks out of the bathroom.
Right under Scully's nose.
Right under it, while the other one distracts Scully with some nonsense about being locked in her stall or something.
You're 8 years old.
You can stand up and use your thumbs. Whatever. Anyway. We'd be great parents. And so she sneaks over to the counter, picks up the two sodas. I guess it's a plot point that Mulder did try to order diet soda for these children. And then the kids are like, we want regular.
Yes.
We need sugar, which is to hide the sweet taste.
It feels like I should be the other way around, honestly.
I know, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what they were hoping for. They're not that smart.
Well, I just meant not in terms of... I just meant their personalities. Feel more like diet pop people and...
Yeah, actually.
You know.
That's true. But it also doesn't really make sense. I mean, I guess there wasn't anything they could do about it, but they were ordering regular pop to hide the sweet taste of the poison. And they're not poisoning themselves. They're poisoning Mulder and Scully, who ordered diet, so it doesn't really help, but...
I think it's just so that they knew which one was which.
That makes even more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they knew which ones to give to Mulder and Scully.
That makes a lot more sense. Never mind.
I figured.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she starts poisoning the drinks.
She pours it in right in the middle of this restaurant.
She sure does.
But nobody notices. I mean, it's very late, so. Yeah.
I mean, I get, what would you even do? Whatever. It would be very strange to see a child poisoning a drink.
Yeah. And then, so she poisons them, and then Mulder and Scully come out, and they head out into the parking lot, but then, Mulder forgot his keys?
Keys.
Yeah. Forgot his keys, so he goes back inside, and then he notices there's just this green sludge all over the table. Looks a lot like digitalis.
Uh-oh, he does lick it.
He does lick it.
There's absolutely no green sludge that could be on a counter in a truck stop that you would want to put in your mouth.
Ugh, gross. I mean, I guess they said that just a little bit isn't enough to poison you, but it's still gross.
It's still gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, Mulder, he's like, okay, all right. Our drinks have been poisoned. We're in trouble. Scully's in danger. I have to very... subtly, secretly, under the radar. I have to, you know, me and Scully are on a wavelength. I can let her know that this has been poisoned. The kids will never know that we know because we're just like this. Mm-hmm. We're just two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
Super secret.
Yeah.
So he enacts his plan. He kicks the door open and screams, Scully!
From across
the parking lot. Yeah. And she's like, what the hell is wrong with you? And then he's like, I just wanted to open the door for you. And she's like, okay, excuse you.
It's subtle. Uh-huh. And then he like jogs over to her and then like
totally
knocks...
out of breath.
And like knocks the pop out of her hands and then whispers very loudly, like, they've been poisoned. And then they turn around and shockingly the children are gone. Almost like they could tell that they were made.
I don't know what went wrong. It was a great plan.
I mean, I get it. He was like, you know, there wasn't a lot of time. If Scully like slurped down a bunch of the pop, she would be a goner.
Sure.
So I do get it, but
it was very silly.
Yeah, so the kids are gone, and they have an unfair advantage because they can, like, they're short, so they can just, like, run under the trucks.
It's true.
Horrible.
Yep.
So now it's time to solve a mystery in a truck stop. Beep, 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 beep.
I would love to solve a mystery in a truck stop.
I know. So this is where the second shot that I noticed that was really cool happened, where it's a truck, you know, loaded with pipe of some sort, and we see Scully walking past the truck, and, like, the camera is kind of going... through the pipe, sort of like a James Bond opening.
You know what I mean? It's like circles. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's very short, but it's a cool shot.
Cool.
We're to see like the circles of the pipes and her walking through them. Anyway, so yeah, so the Boo crew are trying to find these kids now, and perhaps you can anticipate what the issue will be when they try to apprehend two children at a truck stop.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look good. The optics are bad.
They're, yeah.
So Mulder does grab them, but then he is an adult man grabbing two screaming children.
Yes.
And some other people take, you know,
issue
with that. And they do try, they do take a gun out and threaten Mulder unless he lets the little girls go. Which
is fair.
You know, probably what I would do too.
Yeah.
So unfortunately he does have to let the girls go. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they're like, oh, we're the police, blah, 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 blah. And it's really, you know, hard to make the argument that you're apprehending children for a good cause because they're evil. But,
wow.
Oh, well. So yeah, so it seems like, oh no,
we lost them.
Kids got away, like a school bus pulls away with a bunch of kids for some reason.
Which we don't actually see, we just hear about it.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're like, oh, no, they were probably on that bus.
Man.
Skulder and Molly probably.
Skulder and Molly.
Yeah, Skulder and Molly.
Yep.
Probably, like, are assuming that they're on that bus, too. Oh, no, everyone's going to get away. We see their car peel out after the bus.
Yeah, it did peel.
It did.
They were zooming.
Mm-hmm. And then we see the kids still at the truck stop hiding in a boat emerge, and we're like, oh. Dunk.
Oh my god.
Mulder and Scully fell for it. This is humiliating.
Psych.
Not so fast.
We fell for it.
We fell for it. Mulder didn't. He's still there. Grabs those kids.
Grab those kids.
Grab
those. But they're just little girls, as they say.
That was the worst thing. We didn't do anything wrong. We're just little girls.
They're little geniuses.
They're little Einsteins. Mm-hmm. If Einstein exsanguinated his father.
Maybe he did. Who's to say?
No proof that he didn't.
No proof that he didn't. None at all.
Nope. Yeah, so the world is saved. Mm-hmm. They caught those little kids.
Yep.
They go back to the Reardon's house, which Cindy's mom, who's, I guess, the only remaining parent of any of these.
Yep.
Little children, and tell her kind of what's going on, and they're like, oh, they'll be taken to a compound where they know how to deal with them or something. And okay, so now we can talk about this mom.
Okay.
So, okay. I do get that the kids are evil.
Yes.
Science experiments gone wrong. But this woman raised this child for 8 years.
Yes.
Gave birth to her. There's, like, no nuance to her reaction. She's just, like, instantly, like, I hate this child. She was never mine. She, like, rips a picture in half that has the dad and the kid in it and burns Cindy's picture.
Yeah.
And it's, like,
girl.
I mean, yeah, that's, like, I mean, it just seems like there would be some nuance.
Yes.
If your child turned out to be evil.
Yes. It was a very black and white reaction, which doesn't seem very realistic.
No. But I get it. We had to wrap things up pretty fast.
I guess.
It's just TV.
Bad mom.
It's like, I know the kid's evil, but I don't know. There's something wrong with you if you can turn on your kid that fast,
like,
right?
Like, that quick. Yeah.
I mean, I get that they did murder your husband. But they're, like, 8. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Again, I mean, she might hate the kid, but it wouldn't just be like, I hate this kid.
Yeah.
Done deal. There would be... Some, as you said, nuance.
Some emotions, I would imagine, besides just hate. Anyway.
Anyway.
That's fine. I'm not a freelance writer, so I can't
say. You're not Kenneth Brancato or whatever his name was.
Exactly. I don't want to judge. I don't want to assume.
Sure.
Yeah, and then we, last shot of the episode, we are back at the prison for the criminally insane in the Eve block. Where now these two little girls are in next door to Eve 6.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Mystery continues.
Well, not quite, because they're all locked up, and then get a visitor.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody signs in, clip-clop-clopping. Who is it? Who could it be? Sally Kendrick. Back again.
Yikes.
So I kind of like the evil look she gives. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the actress. She was fun.
She's good. Actresses. For all the different...
Of course.
U6, U7,
of course,
maybe.
Yes. All the actresses.
Yeah. So I assume the implication is that she's still working for, like, the government then?
I think
right?
so.
Okay.
Yep.
And still running this evil little experiment.
Mm-hmm. Pretty spooky.
Is she in Deep Throat a thing? Are they in a relationship?
Ooh. I feel like they would be, right?
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
The evil little power couple?
Yeah. Hey, we don't know what Deep Throat is.
I know. I've really turned on him.
Like, yeah, wow.
I just don't like how he called Mulder his mom. But, like, obviously he's talking to someone else. Yeah. So it's like, there's nuance there.
He was trying to
there.
Cover his throat. Cover
his throat.
Cover his throat? What is the phrase?
Cover
his back.
Traces.
That's not it.
His, oh my god.
Cover his tracks.
Cover his tracks.
Oh my god.
Thank you. It's true.
Or, as we can now call it, cover his throat.
Cover his deep throat.
Whoop.
Slurp. That's why he's always wearing turtlenecks.
He's not.
He could be.
He's not.
He could be.
Anyway. Yes, I think they would make a good couple.
Yeah. So, that's that on that.
So, mysterious ending, mm-hmm. like many X-Files episodes.
Yeah.
Like, probably most of them.
There's never an easy answer in this game.
Nope.
Ay-ay-ay.
All right. So, some behind-the-scenes things. So, like I mentioned earlier, the two writers are not regular writers and staff. They're freelance. So, this episode is pitched under the title The Girls from Greenwich, which is an all right title. But yeah, so this is kind of the first episode written by people outside of the main crew of writers. I think once the second season starts, there's like more. They will expand the crew. Because right now it's really just Chris Carter, James Wong and the other guy, and then Gordon and Ganza.
Okay.
It's just like those three groups.
Mm.
But there will be more people in the next season.
Nice.
And eventually, in some shining, beautiful day, we'll get to our boy, Vince E.G.
You know? We just all love Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, you know. I was going to explain who Vince Gilligan was, but I guess why would you be listening to the next podcast? Creator of Breaking Bad.
Yes. Creator of my heart.
Creator of Ella's heart, specifically. Creator of Jesse Pinkman.
Yes. So this episode is also inspired by The Boys from Brazil, which is, I guess, a story about cloning Hitler.
Don't do that.
So, yeah, don't do that. And then Tina and Cindy are actually named after the wives of James Wong and Glenn Morgan.
Okay.
So that's kind of fun.
Wow.
They rewrote aspects of the script. I assume they added in, like, the Mulder and Scully moments.
Yeah, yeah. And Deep Throat?
Oh, and probably well,
I don't know.
Probably Deep Throat.
They make it, like, overarching instead of just a creepy small...
Yeah, contained. I assume they added the aspects of the overarching show. And then another fun fact, Eve Six, the band, named after this episode.
Never heard of them.
They've got a couple of songs that you would probably know if you heard them.
Okay. Are they good?
I don't know. I mean, they're songs that you've maybe heard.
Okay.
But, trivia question... They're named after the X-Files.
Nice. So. Okay. Good to know.
And then there was actually a production delay between the last episode and this episode. There was like a whole month between episodes.
Oh, wow.
Which is why they needed a script from freelancers, because they didn't have one ready.
All right. That's fair.
So that's about it.
All right.
Didn't really write anything about actors or anything. There wasn't anything exciting. So.
Yeah. No one cares.
Nobody cares.
All right. Now we're on to the important stuff, which is... Blazer Watch.
Yes.
That's where we talk about...
Yes.
The fashion.
Yes.
The threads.
Yes.
The ropa.
Yes.
The sartorial sense of our characters.
You got it.
This was a pretty banger episode for clothes.
Oh, really?
Well...
I didn't really write anything much down.
They had great overcoats.
I did write down the coats. The coats...
Yeah.
Beautiful. Mulder had, like, a long black coat, which you did notice when he was running very fast after that car. Scully had a great, like, a dark purple overcoat.
It looks very good.
Yeah. Very good coats.
Yeah. And then when the two little girls were kidnapped by the other clone, she, like, dressed them in these evil little red suits. Yeah. They were, like, a suit jacket and pants and, like, a shirt, and it was all red. It was matching, and it was very evil and weird.
Look!
So I was very into that. So I guess maybe it wasn't that banger of an episode. Four clothes. I was just so distracted by it. The children's suits.
Yeah, they were very evil.
They were absurd.
Yeah.
It was like, if you were kidnapping children, would you dress them in identical, bright, weird outfits?
Probably not. No.
I don't know.
That's what just... I'm not a clone, so I don't know.
Are you not?
Maybe it's clone culture.
Are you sure you're not a clone?
I mean, I guess I'm not. I guess it's always possible. It's very unlikely that I'm a clone.
That's true.
It's possible.
Okay, you're right. No, I shouldn't assume about clone culture. It's not my culture. I don't know what's going on.
Sure.
But I will say that the adults were not wearing silly red suits. Mm-hmm. It would have been very funny if the adult clone was wearing the same suit, but just adult-sized.
That would be great!
All wearing the same outfit.
Wow.
I mean, it was probably like an evil little uniform that they wore on at their evil little clone school, maybe.
Oh yeah, was it the same clothes they were wearing in the picture?
Probably. I didn't put two and two together when I was watching it, but now that I'm saying it...
Maybe.
Probably. Whatever. Anyway, whatever. So, yeah, so I will absolutely give the kids the winning star for this blazer watch.
Yes.
Even though the Boo Crew's coats were very good, too.
Yeah, they were good. I'm going to vote for Scully's purple coat, because it was quite good.
Yeah. It offset her hair nicely.
Yeah.
All right. Now our next segment is FBI Do, and this is the segment where we rate how close the Boo Crew are to booing each other, calling each other Boo, because they're in love. So we rate it on a doomsday clock scale. So 10 minutes to midnight is totally platonic, and 0 minutes to midnight is, instead of an atomic blast, a love blast. You know?
love blast.
Uh-huh. So in this episode, what's an example of someone who's 10 minutes to midnight?
I didn't think about it
beforehand. I didn't either.
Oh, no. So 10 minutes, I'm going to say...
The mom and Cindy.
Yeah. Or the Eves and Sanity.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
The Eves and Sanity. 0 minutes to midnight. I think we all know what the answer is.
Is it Deep Throat and Eve 8? Okay,
yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right.
Good. Sally Kendrick.
Sorry, Sally Kendrick and Deep Throat. My new favorite couple.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, the more I think about it, the more I like it.
Yeah. So. Makes sense. All right, so where do, Skulder fall on this?
I think a pretty average episode.
They were raising children together.
That's right, they were raising children together. I did like the, are you inviting a girl over, what's a girl?
Mm-hmm.
That was cute.
Yeah.
I did not actually consider the surrogate children. So actually, we're going to have to move it higher because of the surrogate children.
Yeah, or lower, I guess.
Or lower.
Our scale doesn't make any sense. It's fine. But we're sticking to it.
I don't know. What would you rate it?
Five?
Yeah, that feels right.
Five, yeah. Because it's like, it's more than zero, but I don't want to risk my fours and my threes and my twos.
Sure.
Until there's a little more something going on.
Little more something.
So, yeah, a solid five.
All right.
They should not be parents.
No. They have been unsuccessful thus far.
Which, I guess, speaking of, unless we have anything else to say about FBI Do,
no.
We can skedaddle over into my predictions.
Yes. Hit me.
I hope that neither of them ever have children.
Okay.
I suspect that they won't unless, and not to just bring Gilmore Girls up all the time.
Like, have you?
I feel like I have talked about it before. Okay. Like last episode I talked about how they got, or not last episode, ooh, but how Bear in Ice was dressed like Luke from Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So not to keep bringing it up.
All right.
But I feel like the only way that one of them will have a kid is if it's, like, a similar plot point in Gilmore Girls, where a main character is revealed to have a secret child, and it's the worst plot point on planet Earth. And then the entire show goes downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect if it happens, it'll be something like that, or okay. It happens in, like, season 9, and it's stupid. And then they try to, like, not address it as much as possible.
Okay.
But my actual prediction is they probably won't, unless there's, like, some weird, like, body horror alien nonsense, which could also happen.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. Or maybe they, you know, get married, have kids, and then Chris Carter's still like, I don't see it. I don't see it as romantic. There's something inherently romantic about living together, married with kids.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, maybe he's very progressive.
Yeah, know? Actually, maybe.
If you think about it.
Yeah, they're the, you know, like, queer platonic mates.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not. He's probably never heard the phrase.
No.
If I had to guess.
No.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Those are my predictions, and also that Deep Throat and Dr. Kendrick will be in a relationship, and they will invite Mulder and Scully to their wedding. And then that'll be one of the, it'll be a wedding episode.
Wait, I just had a thought. So Deep Throat and Kendrick, do they give off, not that they've ever shared a scene together.
Or probably will ever.
But in our imaginary show that we're creating here, do they give off that they will be in a relationship? Or I feel like they give off exes.
Oh.
Or isn't that more powerful? Yeah, if they're exes?
Oh, yeah. No,
I think
I
like
that
more.
Correct. You're right. You're right.
Made up show that we're creating.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know.
They're together.
They're powerful exes. Come on.
Those would not be people you would want to hang out with.
No.
It's like
the heat coming off.
They, like, cut off the scene too soon when they were at the pier and Mulder and Deep Throat were talking. But at the end, he was like, and, like, if you see her... I get, like, you know, Dr. Kendrick, like, I guess if you see her, just, like, tell her that you saw me, but, like, don't tell her I asked you to tell her that. Just, like, mention me casually and see how she reacts, and then you have to call me later and tell me how she reacted. She's very nervous.
I think those are on the deleted scenes on the DVDs, so.
If the DVDs weren't cowards and only show us international clips.
There is a disc of all the season 1 special features that I found.
Nice.
So we can watch all the special features after the season is over.
Okay. We'll have to do a bonus episode for our Patreon subscribers us reviewing the special features.
Mm-hmm. Love those special features.
Love them. Anyway. All right. So what was your favorite moment from the episode?
I just like the scene at the truck stop.
Yeah.
There was suspense. There was surrogate families. Not really. There was Mulder not being...
We projected a lot.
There was Mulder being very unsubtle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It's good
nice.
Stuff.
Very nice. Yeah. This is the problem. Similar taste in things. So that was also my favorite. All right, yeah. So my favorite specific scene was Mulder kicking the door open and screaming at Scully and just being like, I wanted to open the door for you.
Maybe he did.
I think he's never done. Anyway, yeah, so the truck setup scene was very good. So that's that on that. Now we've talked about the whole thing. We can wrap it all up in a nice little bow. We can say how we rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 little alien emoji heads.
Yes.
All right.
Very important.
I thought it was good.
Okay.
But it wasn't that good. I don't know. 3?
Okay.
Is that too low? I'm going to... Nope.
Go with your art.
I'm going to stick with my gut. 3.
Okay.
3.
3.
Yes.
3.
Yes.
3.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you say?
I don't know. I like this episode. This is one of the ones that I remember. It sticks in my head a lot. I think the girls are really creepy, and I like the actress that plays Sally Kendrick. So, I don't know. I'll give it a 3.5.
All right. Solid.
It's a good, solid episode.
So, that's that on that.
That's that.
That's the episode. We're done. I'm opening the other, I'm at the, oh, oh God. Oh God.
Well, while Amanda's freaking out, I'm going to let you know what's happening next week. Okay. So next time, we'll be talking about season 1, episode 12, Fire. It's another fun one. All I'll say is that FBI Do is going to have some content.
Ooh.
We're going to have some stuff to talk about. I'm just, wow. That's all I'll say.
The fire is the burning passion between the two leads.
There's some burning passion. I won't say anything else.
Okay.
We will have, I'm not saying it's good things. I'm just saying there will be some content to discuss during FBI Do.
Okay.
It's fun. It's good. I'm ready. We'll have a good time.
This is very mysterious. All right. Perfect. So if you want to share some thoughts with us, feel free to send us an email at scullynationpod@gmail.com. We'd love to get your emails. We'll feature you on the show. You can
special feature you on the show.
You can mock our opinions or support them.
Mm-hmm.
Or share things that you thought yourself.
I was going to say submit some Deep Throat Sally Kendrick fan fiction.
If you submit that, we will read it. That's a guarantee. Because that's the content I want to see.
Yes.
And you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Scully Nation Pod. Our intro and outro music was by Groovemasta Putz. That's GrooveMastaPutz. And you can find their music on Bandcamp. And I've been your host, Amanda.
And I've been Ella. And remember, trust no one except for us.